As Washington continues to build a foundation for success on and off the field, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murad, will help update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Go to kmlawyers.com and be sure to tell them we sent you so that you can get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Welcome back to Caddies in Bethesda. We're at Caddies on Cordell on Grant and Danny. We are live on the Fan. Danny's out. I'm alongside Toby Altizer. Eric Bickle is joining us today. Now, it seems like the Fire King shtick has cooled off for now. Are you still the Fire King?
No, State King now.
State King.
Okay. One of my greatest championships ever.
That's a good one.
And frankly, since I'm back into golf, I just hit golf balls back there now.
The Golf King.
I wish, but no.
The golf, I will say, you play a lot of golf. The golf game looks like it's coming along.
It's getting better.
Yeah, swing looks good.
It's getting
swing
better, but got a long ways to go. It's all short game.
All right. The Golf King / Fire King / State King, Eric Bickle, is with us. So we are at Caddies in Bethesda. We wanted to touch the people here. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to get to Jaden Daniels and where he ranks among quarterbacks right now. But let's get a feel for the crowd, how folks are feeling who are coming out, getting ready for NFC Championship game football. So first of all, you got to tell us your name and where you came in from.
This is Nate from Silver Spring.
Nate in Silver Spring, we appreciate you coming out.
Man, we're fired up, man. I tell you, I haven't seen kids out here with Commander's gear or watching gear in over 20 years. Yeah. So I love it, man. People are finally proud to wear the gear again.
Oh yeah.
And we're fired up, man. We definitely got a great chance this week. We got the trump card. And nobody's talking about it. We got the mobile quarterback. We got Jaden Daniels. When everything breaks down, fourth quarter, we got somebody that can run for 20 yards. And that scares them to death. So we got a great chance to win this game, man. It's just so awesome to see all these people coming out finally. All the old fans are coming back. The people are proud of this franchise again. And the team is playing like that. We got all the momentum. We're a tight-knit group more than Philly. And I think that's going to carry us to the win, man. And they're playing with everybody on their back. You could tell Terry McLaurin, Sanders Drill. Like, these guys are playing, and they feel the momentum of the fan base. So I love it, man. We're fired up. Beat Philly, you know.
Let's go.
I love it.
Well,
I
we appreciate it. You coming out. Thank you. A couple things I wanted to mention there from his thoughts. He talked about having the mobile quarterback. Do we think Jalen Hurts will be healthy enough to be a weapon with his feet? He did not look like he could move at the end of their last game. He's already said today, Tobes, he's going to be wearing a knee brace.
Yeah, I think slightly, right? He's not going to run for 80 yards. He's not going to break off a big one, but I wouldn't be surprised if the tush push is still in play and occasionally, but he's not going to be regular Jalen.
If he gets a cortisone shot, he might be a lot better than you think. So who knows? I think it's a little bit of an unknown. They're probably not going to be quite as aggressive on the ground.
But don't you agree with me? It's a game changer if he is compromised mobility-wise. I believe there's a lot of quarterbacks who are dual threats who can beat you doing both. Maybe I'm disrespectful to him. I just have multiple years of watching him. Since the Super Bowl run when he was fantastic as a passer, if he can't run around, he does not scare me. He doesn't beat you from the pocket.
Yeah, I generally agree with that. What does scare me, though, it's kind of along the same lines, is – They're just, you know, if they're aggressive on fourth down, which I assume they will be, you know, it just scares me because it just gives them an extra down.
Yeah.
And I think it's part of the reason why Jaden and Washington's been so successful. Sometimes I know you're big on it. I'm a little more old school, but it's, you know, it's working, so I'm riding with it.
It's one of the reasons they're here.
I know, but like fourth and 11, but I get it. You're at the 40. Okay, it's weird. But when you have to face that, it's just scary. And so if he can move a little bit, yeah, no, I think they're going to go for it on fourth down a lot. And frankly, whoever's more successful on that might win the game.
Honestly, though, if they can't do the tush push, that might be bigger than Jalen just actually running. Because they can do it.
They'll
essentially
be able to
live, though,
they'll
where anything with one or two is a first down for them. It's a cheat code. If they can't do that, which they didn't do at the end of that game, they were down at the one, they didn't run it.
Yeah, they refused to do
it. Dude, they're going to shoot him up. He's going to be able to go in a straight line.
Do it.
He may not be able to go side to side. He'll be able to go in a straight line.
I'll say this. If he can't do the tush push, they shouldn't play him,
honestly. I agree, 100%.
Because I understand Kenny Pickett is, you know, I say that and people laugh, right? It's Kenny Pickett. But the gap between him and Hurts throwing the football, I don't think is astronomical.
No.
And at least he's mobile. Like, he could present another problem. All right, let's see. Talk to some of our listeners out here. What's up?
Hey, I'm Joey. I'm from up the road here in Bethesda. I'm going to be watching the game this weekend in College Park.
Nice. Right,
my fraternity is a healthy mix of Eagles and Commanders fans, so that'll be
What fraternity is that?
Sigma Alpha Mu, University of Maryland.
Nice.
Hey, so what's it like on campus right now? You see Commanders gear everywhere?
It's electric. I see a lot more than usual. Now that the Ravens are out, it'll be a lot easier to spot us, so that's going to be good. My question is, I'm a little confused by the use of Marcus Mariota in the offense, how it's going right now. Do you think he factors into any of the offensive plays in the championship game, and how?
Actually, that's such a good question. I'm really glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about this just the other day. So both times they've used him now in the playoffs, they had not done this at all in the regular season, to Joey's point. But in the Tampa game and then in the Detroit game, we have seen on fourth and inches or fourth and short, they brought Mariota in. The first time, they just ran him on a quarterback sneak and split Jaden out as eye candy. The second time, they had him under center, and they tried to do like a fake sneak toss, and Robinson got the signals mixed up and ran right into Mariota. I love the calls in real time, and I'm tweeting, awesome design, cool by Cliff. And as I've thought about it more, why are they getting cued on this? Like, Jaden on fourth down has been borderline automatic all year long.
Right.
Having read option, which they go empty too much in fourth, for me, I want to back next to them, read option, make them read it out. The only team that has truly stopped them on fourth and short this year when Jaden's in the gun with, like, a read option look is the Eagles on that fourth and short in Philly, which makes me think, to answer his question, you might see that Mariota package. And they've also now given you a couple things to think about.
Yeah.
They've done the sneak. They've done the fake sneak and toss. So you've got to stay home. So they're giving teams something to worry about. I just don't want to get cute. You got the cheat code, right? Get the ball in Jaden Daniels' hands.
Yeah, don't have Luke McCaffrey throwing a pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But how different is that with, like, Mariota taking a snap, faking, now turning and pitching? Aren't
you better off just that? If they're going to do that, just let him just barrel ahead.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I don't love the pitch. If you're just going to get him in there to sneak it, I'll live with that. Because, fourth and inches, if you can't pick it up on a sneak, then that's a problem. But I don't want Jaden doing that. But that's the only way I'm using Mariota.
Very cool. We got some young Commanders fans out here, by the way. All right. So let's see what. Now it's your birthday, right? Whose birthday is it?
Mine on Sunday.
Happy
your birthday,
bud.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
NFC Championship game. Wow. Anything specific that you'd like for your birthday on Sunday?
A win.
Yep. Ooh,
okay. There we go.
Well done. All right. What are you expecting at the game?
I'm expecting the Commanders to win.
We will accept that. We will take that. Do you have a question, or what do you got for us?
So if you guys were, like, the coach of the Commanders, what would you do to, like, stop the Eagles from scoring?
Okay, I like that. How we game planning against Philly's defense, I will make Toby Altize or Joe Witt Jr. for now.
I am loading the box. I am making sure that Saquon Barkley does not get off for 200 yards. I am making sure that you contain the running game. If Jalen starts throwing the ball, then we adjust. But I am not scared of Jalen Hurts' arm. I'm putting 8 in the box. I'm making sure they don't get that run game going heavy. So I would play that run game hard.
Can I ask you guys a question real quick? So I want to know, like, in the past compared to now, how many Commanders fans were there at school and in your class, and are there more now?
So we have a friend that's an Eagles fan and three others in our grade, and it's not good.
No, it is. It's true. It's definitely not good.
But all of our class except our teacher and our friend is Commanders fans. So. Yeah.
Very good.
We make fun of him.
Not, well, we don't condone bullying except for this week with that Eagles fan.
It's all good.
But otherwise, we'll
be nice.
You guys
got good parents.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you guys for coming out.
Thank
we appreciate you.
Very good.
I think it was Nate that made the point. You just didn't see young people in gear for so long.
No.
And why would you? I mean, you are the one getting made fun of. Like, there's a kid in your class in a Mahomes jersey, kid in your class who's rocking a Josh Allen jersey. Why are you going to wear Commanders gear, right?
Well, Listen, I'll be honest with you. I love the tradition of the burgundy and gold, but it's also a hard color to wear. Whatever. It is what it is.
All I wore my entire grade school experience was, like, the ugliest Redskin Zuba pants every Friday and jerseys.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, laundry day at my house was, like, whites, blacks, burgundies. Like, that was my whole wardrobe growing up.
Can you still be all in as a fan? Because you went through that period where you had to cover them and you couldn't be. But are you back?
I mean, it's so weird for me. I always say this, like, I don't own any gear at this point. Not one thing, which is odd. when you're on the beat, it just changes
you're
your relationship.
Beat, you can't. Yeah.
You can't. And now it's like hard to put it. But I will say this: when I'm watching on a Sunday, I mean, of course, like I'm all in. I'm not gonna rock a jersey and, you know, walk around. But like watching a game, I'm no different than anyone sitting in here. You're just able to wear multiple hats at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird though. It changes your experience.
For me, I grew up in going to school in Winchester, Virginia, so a little bit out. I was the only Skins fan out there. Like, if I went into school on a Monday, I was getting made fun of by a Steelers fan, a Colts fan, everybody else.
And you wonder why we lose a generation, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's so nice to see kids that are younger than me now, because, you know, I'm one of the younger people at the station, that are repping the burgundy and gold like I would have. It's really refreshing to see.
It's awesome. All right, I want to play this clip from Chris Sims talking about where Jaden Daniels ranks among quarterbacks in the NFL. Remember, end of his rookie season, year one here, and we're already having a legitimate conversation. He was on, I think it's Up and Adams, this audio is from, with Kay Adams, who I'm a big fan of, by the way.
Huh. Very talented.
Yeah, she is excellent at what she does. But he was talking to Kay Adams about where he would rank Daniels.
I'm never going to put anybody in front of the two guys in the AFC are unreal, right? Jaden Daniels is special, though. And I will say, you go through the NFC, I wouldn't have a problem going, hey, Jaden Daniels might be the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
Matthew
already,
Stafford
right?
might have something to say. I'm trying to think who
else.
That
would be the guy. Yeah. That's right. See, you're with me. But that would be the guy you'd go. Yeah, he would challenge that, certainly. And Jaden Daniels doesn't have the experience Matthew Stafford has, but this is a special player. I'm amazed by what we're seeing. The amount of offense they put on his shoulders, how they trust him, how cool and calm he is, right? Within the pocket, right? Mm-hmm. And making decisions and throwing the ball and putting it right where you need to. He's phenomenal in that department. Let alone then it's the, oh, wait, if we cover everybody, he can buy time and scramble and then still make a great throw. And then on top of that, it's, oh, wait, all the quarterback design run stuff you have to worry about. And that's what makes them so tough on third down and fourth down because of his unreal skill set.
So he is open to the possibility as a guy who ranks quarterbacks at the end of every season to putting Jaden Daniels already in that 4-5 conversation. I think Mahomes and Allen, just based on their body of work, are above reproach still right now. And then my next tier would be another two quarterback tier. I think Lamar, who's on the precipice of a third MVP maybe, and Joe Burrow, I put there. Those top four guys, all in the AFC though, mind you,
yes,
are ahead of him. After that, to Chris Sims's point, I don't know if this is how Daniels is always going to play. I don't know if there's going to be any kind of a C.J. Stroud second-year regression. I can't promise it'll be better next year. But if we're just talking about right now, this moment, who's the best quarterbacks in the NFL, fifth seems like a very reasonable place to drop him in.
I think he is the top quarterback in the NFC. And I think when you're looking at the other guys that are left, you know, Mahomes obviously is going to be ranked ahead because of the Super Bowls and the previous experience. Josh Allen, same sort of thing. You talk about Lamar and Burrow. Going off of the previous stuff, the fact that they have experience, they can be ranked ahead. But I can tell you one thing. If you ask me right now which quarterback I would take Jaden Daniels because I don't think there's anyone playing better. And that's including Mahomes and Allen. You know, what they're being asked to do. You know, Allen is doing what he's asked. He's not putting up the same numbers that he used to. Patrick Mahomes is doing what he's asked. But I don't think it's crazy to think that if you had to choose a quarterback right now, you'd take Jaden Daniels. That's not taking away from Mahomes. I love Mahomes. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. But Jaden is playing at a level that I don't know that anyone else is matching right now. Not to say they can't match it,
right?
But he's playing at an unreal level.
And Evie, I'm admitting this is just based on this moment, but that's what we got. Who's playing better than him right now?
I don't know. I thought Lamar maybe, you know, but he struggled a little bit. Josh. But I agree with Toby, too. Like, there are guys that are better. I mean, he's not the greatest quarterback in the history of ever, or maybe even right now, but he might be playing at the best right now, at this moment, as you say. But I don't think there's anybody else I'd rather have right now. Like, I'm not saying he's better than Mahomes.
Right.
But I love this kid. I love everything about him. I love his poise. The poise is beyond, I mean, everyone's talking about it, but it just, I just don't think people can really truly comprehend how he's handling all of this. It might be one of the single most remarkable things I've ever seen. He's just so calm, so collected. You know, the game clock's winding down. I'm freaking out. Snap the ball. He's just chill. Gets it off right when he needs to. He's on the sideline. They're marching. He's just, you know, taking it in.
It's unreal.
I've just never seen anything like that. And for him to be a rookie,
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Well, what I love is having covered 12 and Griffin and being at that time in the locker room and hearing all these little snipes and chirps and things that was annoying different players. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, he's having dinner with the owner or they're doing this. You know, all those little things. He is legitimately – and I'm not trying to throw shade at Robert at all. He was a good kid.
Yeah.
But my point was – the way the culture was set up and the owner, like, kind of in a sense set him up to fail.
Yeah.
These guys just all love this player.
Yeah.
And you can see it on the field.
You know, it's funny you say that because it's the first time I've thought about it. And you might be right. If Robert was Jaden right now,
yeah,
and he was coached by DQ and he was drafted by Josh Harris, he might have had a completely different career.
I'm sure he
completely
would've.
Different yeah. career. You know, and we might have completely different perception of him because they would have snapped him right out of some of this nonsense
yep.
from the beginning. Because Robert was a talented player, and there were some similar traits. I think Jaden's toolbox is much larger, but who knows where Robert could have developed over time. And I'm certain they would have utilized him to his best.
How much do you think it changed for Jaden that he comes into the league having dealt with NIL and a lot of this stuff beforehand, right? Like, there was a literal documentary made. You had the maker on of this thing on Amazon talking about, you know, are you going to get NIL? How do you deal with this stuff, your endorsement deals? And Jaden essentially said, I'm worried about going to the league.
Yeah.
Now he's in the league, and he kind of has that same approach.
Right.
I wonder if that didn't help because, you know, whether they were doing under-the-table shady stuff before, it wasn't as open. Now it's different.
Well, he was a pro before he was a pro. Remember, he also played a million games. He also transferred,
huge.
A la signing as a free agent, learned a playbook on the fly, learned a new staff. Those are all things that clearly helped him prepare. Have you guys, by the way, heard the mayor of Philadelphia trying to spell Eagles? It's a lot of fun. I'll play it for you right now, but I want you guys, I want to do something here before we go to break. I think we should all, after you hear this, chant E-L-G-S-E-S, Ilgses, okay? But first... this was the mayor of Philly trying to spell the word Eagles.
Let me hear you all say E-L-G-S, Eagles!
All right, so now in-house here at Caddy's, it's going to be E-L-G-S-E-S, Elgsis, okay? Are we ready? Go!
E-L-G-S-E-S, Elgsis!
You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back to Caddy's in Bethesda. We are live in Maryland. ahead of the NFC Championship game. Grant and Danny on the Fan No Danny today. Toby Altizer's with me. Eric Pickles hanging out. You'll hear more from him in just a bit. We'll have Jay Gruden swinging by the show at 5 o'clock today as we game plan on our little radio show for how we'd stop Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles. But right now, on the Rude Guest Hotline, we find our buddy Trey Wingo, presented by DraftKings. Trey, thank you so much for a couple of minutes. We appreciate it. We're getting ready for championship football, and I don't think I need to tell you this, but this city is a buzz at this juncture.
Grant, it should be, man. It's been a long time since 1991, and you have a real bright spot there in Jaden Daniels. And by the way, if you can figure out how to stop Saquon Barkley, tell everybody, because nobody's been able to do that.
Yeah, I don't have the antidote. I don't know that Joe Witt Jr. does either, unfortunately. But here's what I'm banking on, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Trey. I think they could still beat Philly if Barkley goes for 145, 150. They have beaten the Eagles and almost beaten the Eagles in two games where he's done that this year. I just feel like it's a Jalen Hurts scenario for me. Is he healthy enough to really be a weapon? That's the question.
Well, it is and it isn't, right? Because it becomes a question if he has to be a weapon. And, you know, because he really hasn't had to be a weapon because of that offensive line and because of everything that Saquon has done. So whatever you want to do defensively, you want to make Jalen Hurts have to be a weapon because they haven't needed him to be a weapon, and they still managed to win some of these games, even though it was a little sloppy against the Rams. And honestly, I think it was very fortunate, by the way, for the Eagles that there was snow in that game, because if that had been an even track, the way the Rams like to move the ball up and down the field, I think they could have been in trouble against the Rams, the Eagles defense. So, you know, I think it was to their benefit that it was such a sloppy track, and it sort of took away some of the things that the Rams do really well. All that being said, we're just talking about the number one scoring and number one total defense, guys. Those are hard things to overcome in the postseason.
Trey, you look at that passing game with Jalen, assuming he's going to be good to go. And
what passing game?
But Marshawn Lattimore was on A.J. Brown last time, and it did not go well.
Yeah.
Do you expect that they're going to change that strategy up? You expect them? What do you expect them to do defensively in the pass game?
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do something. Marshawn, this is why you traded for him, right? This is why you go get a guy like that for a matchup against for a game like this. You know, you just hope that A.J. doesn't channel his inner excellence and has a quiet game and is content reading on the sidelines. Listen, to me, it's really simple. Let me put it this way. It's simple to say what has to happen. It's not simple to do what has to happen. They've got to sell out. They have to sell out against the run and make Jalen beat you. Make him have hot throws to Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown and hit Dallas Goedert a million times. You know, you got to put 6-7 up front and just say 3 yards at a time, 3 yards at a time. I know this is going to sound stupid and a little like Micah Parsons after one of the Cowboys games, but if you took away those two long runs by Saquon Barkley in that game against the Rams, they did a pretty decent job up front. And they sacked him, what, 6 times, Jalen Hurts? I thought the big bad offensive line of the Eagles in that game did not play like the big bad offensive line. And I thought the Rams front seven really handled them pretty well. They just gave up the two big plays.
How do you think Washington will do against Jalen Carter without starting guard Sam Cosmi?
Not well. I mean, that guy's a beast, man. And you know, for all the things that the Eagles didn't do well in that game, he came up with that big play, the punch out, when they had to have it. So he's a real – and Cosmi is a very underrated player. Like, he is so good and has been so good for you guys. It's a big loss because the size of the Eagles' defensive tackles is just not normal. They are big, big people. And you know, they've sort of made their living this season by dominating both lines of scrimmage, which I didn't think they did in the game against the Rams. But with Cosmi out, that becomes a much bigger issue and much more of a pressure point for Washington.
When you look at both of these teams, they've had a 6-0 turnover margin in their first two games in the playoffs. You know, it seems like Washington's been up to the task. They have not blinked. You've seen Philly, obviously, up to the task. They haven't blinked. Do you think one of these teams just doesn't, you know, has some of those mistakes this game, and that's the differentiator? Or do you think this is going to be a clean ball game and the better team wins?
Well, it's really weird, right? Because this is the first time on Championship Sunday ever that all four teams playing have not committed a playoff turnover, which it's just so unusual. None for the Rams. I mean, none for the Eagles, none for the Commanders, none for the Chiefs, and none for Buffalo. I mean, you got clean games to get you here. You know, obviously there's going to be a lot of pressure on Jaden. And you go back and look at the game that they won late in the season. You know, they were, let's just be honest, fans were a little fortunate there. Devontae Smith dropped the pass that should have ended the game. And then the Commanders had a second opportunity, and they took advantage of it. But you can't – this has to be not only can it be a turnover-free game for Washington, it has to be a mistake-free game. And those are two different things, right? Obviously, turnovers can be mistakes. You can't miss open receivers. You know, like in the game against the Lions, you know, James has made almost everything, missed the layup. Zach Ertz on the goal line. If he's open like that, you can't miss him. So – what's been really interesting about watching Jaden go through this rookie season is that I think he has not really sort of any scar tissue in there. You know what I mean? He all he knows is success outside of that 3-game losing streak. And the way they sort of closed the season from week 15 on with those last second wins, there's a lot of things that go, oh, it'll just work out. And sometimes what you don't know is as important as what you do know. And I think right now Jaden and offense are playing very freely because they don't have disappointment. They don't have the stars that have been there for the fans all these years trying to see this franchise, one of the keystone franchises in the NFL, by the way, get back into the limelight. And I think that is that more than anything, I think, can really help the Commanders in this game because all Jaden knows is success. He doesn't know disappointment. And why would you worry about it if you don't ever have to deal with it?
Trey Wingo is with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Trey, when Washington has the football, they have not been able to run the ball effectively until they played Detroit for about a 6.5-week span here. Do you think they fix something in their running game with their backs, or do you think the Lions are that bad stopping the run?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it was the latter. I mean, let's go look at the game, right? Let's, a couple things. At one point, the Lions had 16 defensive players on injured reserve. 16. If you just do the math, that's 11 starters and 5 backups on one side of the ball. Now, they got Alex Anzalone back, and that certainly helped. But, you know, since the start of the 2023 season, guys, the Lions have averaged 30.2 points per game, which was best in the NFL. In that playoff game against the Commanders, they scored 31, which was just above their average, but they gave up 45. And obviously some of that was the pick six by, at the end of the half that Jared Goff threw. But that tells you that they were a defensive liability. And look, the Commanders did what you should do against a bad defense. Take advantage of those situations and put up points, which is exactly what they did. But I'm not going to sit here and say they've got it all figured out, especially when you're going up against the run defense that the Philadelphia Eagles present, which is a significantly bigger challenge.
Trey, we've seen Jaden look totally different in the two matchups that they played Philadelphia. The first matchup was right, arguably his worst matchup of the year, and then the second time he looked incredible in that second half. A big difference was obviously health for Jaden, but they blitzed a lot more in that second matchup. What do you expect the Eagles to do defensively, you know, learning from those two matchups?
Well, listen, you know, I think they want to try and rattle him early. I mean, that's what I would try to do, and you know, I don't know if he's rattleable at this point, the way he's gone about it. And just to put in perspective how different this run is with Jaden Daniels as a rookie quarterback as opposed to the other 5 rookie quarterbacks that have made it to a conference championship game, the scoring defense for the Washington Commanders is 18th in the NFL, which is really just a tick below average, okay? Every other rookie quarterback that has made it to starting a championship Sunday, their scoring defense has been either first or third. That's it. You know, Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Sean King, Brock Purdy, all these guys that made it to Championship Sunday as rookie quarterbacks all had this unbelievable defense that really carried them. And then the quarterback was just sort of there. It's the exact opposite with Jaden Daniels. He's the reason they're there. And I think that gives you a little bit more hope as well. He's going to have to make the right decision and the correct decision and do it quickly against this defense.
All right, Trey, so who do you think wins not only Washington, Philly, but the AFC Championship game? What's your Super Bowl matchup look like?
Well, let me be clear. I love D.C. My son went to Georgetown. You know, I am all in on D.C. It's hard to go against the Eagles at home. I'll give you another number that concerns me. The Eagles have the number one scoring and total defense through the playoffs and through the regular season, and they're at home. In the last 20 years, when that situation has been presented on Championship Sunday, those teams are 4-0, and they're 7-2 all-time in that situation in the Super Bowl era. It is really hard to go on the road in the postseason and beat a team at home with those kind of defensive numbers. Is it possible? Yes. So I am leaning towards Philadelphia. And in the other matchup, I would just say I'll be out on the Chiefs when they're dead and buried. Until they're dead and buried, I am riding them like you would not believe. And look, they never were the best team last year until they won every playoff game and decided it was their time to do it. And I just think their entire season has been just, can we get to this point? I feel like the entire regular season has been them just playing with their food. And all they wanted to do is get to this point, to do what no one's ever done. Forget winning 3 Super Bowls. No one has ever even made it back to a third straight Super Bowl with the opportunity to win a third one. And I think they're on the verge of history, and I think history is with Kansas City.
Real quick, Trey, this seems like a different Buffalo team, though, a team that can actually run the football. It's not all on Josh Allen. Is that something where if they run the football effectively, kind of limit some of the possessions in this game, you could see it going their way, or is it plays too well?
Look, nothing would surprise me in the AFC Championship game. If the Bills win, I'm not going to be like, oh, where did that come from? They're a very capable team. I'll tell you two things that concern me. Number one, the injury nobody's talking about, and they really should. Safety Taylor Rapp is out, which means you got a rookie safety back there in the AFC Championship game. Trust me, I think Andy Reid's going to find ways to exploit that. And the other thing that no one is talking about in this situation with Buffalo is that Sean McDermott, as good as he's been, has had some real brain farts in the postseason, okay? 13 seconds left a couple of years ago in the divisional round. Why did you kick it in the back of the end zone? Last year in the divisional round against the Chiefs, at home, in Buffalo, he went for a fake punt, guys, inside his own 35-yard line in the fourth quarter. And Mecole Hardman doesn't fumble that ball at the goal line. The Chiefs probably win by double digits. So I'm a much bigger believer in Andy Reid in these moments than I am in Sean McDermott.
Trey, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy Championship Sunday.
I will. I hope I'm wrong. Go Commanders.
Thanks, Trey. We appreciate you, buddy. There's Trey Wingo of DraftKings joining us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. No Danny today. We're taking you up to 6:30 at Caddy's in Bethesda. You wait till you hear what some Brave Commanders fans did in Philly overnight. That is getting some national attention. That is next on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We're in Bethesda at Caddy's. Caddy's on Cordell. We'll be here till 6:30 partying ahead of the NFC Championship game today. You guys familiar with the Rocky statue in Philly? It is currently wearing burgundy and gold.
It's unbelievable.
The Rocky statue has what appears to be a Redskins towel, a Redskins t-shirt, and maybe even scarf, and Redskins jackets adorning it.
Unbelievable.
Today.
Unbelievable.
It's awesome.
And it's still, no one's gotten it off?
I'm sure it is by now, but the pictures, it's too late. Yeah. They're circulating all over the place.
Yeah. No, it's unbelievable. I mean, it just shows you how rabid the fan base is right now. It's crazy. I don't know if you've experienced it on your show. I'm sure you have. But we've had people call us this week from Vietnam, from Australia, from all over the world. And, like, if they win, the guy from Vietnam's like, yeah, I'm flying in. You know, like.
There's just a pride that happens as community comes together. I mean, Joe Gibbs told us he'd be at the game this weekend. Charles Mann, who at one point in time was completely out on the organization, said that if they win, he will go, even if he doesn't have a ticket.
Yeah.
He'll just go to New Orleans and stand
just
outside the stadium.
Out. Yeah.
Just to be part of the party.
Yeah.
It's happening. Like, people are coming back, man.
No, it's crazy. It's one of the more surreal things that I've seen.
As far as winning off the field goes, this is normally where we tell you the little mini moral victories in our day. I'm winning off the field. I'll tell you guys how. I can correctly spell the word Eagles. I am able to spell the word Eagles. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, not E-L-G-S-E-S, Elksis.
Right.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Toby?
I have had the opportunity to host a radio show with Danny Rouillet before a divisional round game that Washington won. And now I am hosting a radio show with Grant Paulson before an NFC Championship game. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Shall I chime in here?
Yeah.
Mine's not as funny. I think I'm winning off the field because I the last picture I saw a couple weeks ago or a couple days ago, I was just such a ginormous pig that I decided I had to start fasting. Okay. I did 24-hour fast. Like, it was nothing. Like, it was the easiest thing I've ever done. I just said, put a little salt in my water and had a little coffee, black coffee. Easy peasy. So I think I'm
winning off the field.
There you go,
thank
Bruce.
You.
So you
love
were
it.
Not hungry?
I mean, I was kind of hungry. And I mean, believe me, I love eating.
Yeah.
But it wasn't nearly as hard as I thought.
So let me ask you this. Game day Sunday, I'm assuming you're going to be at home watching.
Yes, with my youngest and maybe my oldest daughter.
Okay. What is your go-to snack for the game? Like, if your wife goes to the store an hour and a half before kickoff,
it's pretty.
She knows what Eric wants. What's she grabbing?
It's pretty lame.
Okay.
Hell of a good French onion dip.
That's my one C.
That's my go-to.
Cape Cod kettle cooked chips and hell of a
good
French onion.
Well, I actually like it with wavy Lays. I'm a wavy Lays guy.
I will accept that. But the French, the red and yellow tub of hell of a good.
I mean, I've actually gone to parties, and it's embarrassing because, like, people bring all their nice stuff that they make at home, and I just bring that. And I go, sorry, this is what I like.
It's so good.
Yeah, just bring it straight from the
Safeway. And then you'll have a cocktail.
Oh, yeah. Not always. Not every game. But, I mean, for this one, I think I'm going to have to drink.
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
Toby, what's your go-to game day snack?
I'm not a big snacker. We've talked about this. I'm not a big snacker.
But football's on. You're watching.
You've had snacks.
The
what are you
NFC
talking about?
Championship I'm going to chow game? Down either before the game or at halftime. I'll eat a burger or something.
You don't nervously eat?
No.
Who doesn't nervously eat?
I mean, I can't imagine watching football without something in front of me.
Especially when the game of this nature, every commercial break, I'll get up and go into the – I'll grab something and stuff it in my face. Just that anxiety.
Yeah, I don't snack. I'm not a nervous eater, no.
My wife will, like, the whole game. We'll do wings. We'll just have one thing after another rolling through. But I am my go-to, Coke Zero, mm-hmm. I need Cape Cod crunchy chips. And hell of a good.
But you're not
French
a big boozer,
dip.
Right? That's one of
not
the
really,
one of the
no.
thing that you're not really. I mean, it's not one of your vices yet.
No, I like
hang
cocktails.
Out with me a little more.
Yeah. More EB time. Yeah. No, I mean, if I go out, I love a cocktail. I'm not a beer guy. I like.
Yeah, I'm not a huge beer
drinks.
Guy. But I'm not going to turn it down.
But I almost never at home will just sit there, even if I'm watching a game. I'll to me like out here at Caddy's, this is where I would have cocktails, like out and about. It's like a communal.
Should try it at home alone. It's fun.
I probably should not try it. I have one of those things called an addictive personality.
Right. Yeah. Just don't do Coke, but I mean, you know.
I'll try not to. Yeah. Coca-Cola Classic's delicious.
That's good. That's good. Yeah.
Very, very different. All right, EB, we're going to give our predictions at the end of the show.
All right.
I know you're going home to hit some golf balls. Or what is it that EB's going to do this afternoon?
I just want to go home. Yeah, that's well, four.
I totally understand.
Yeah, I just want to go home.
I don't know if you had any.
No, well, 100% I'll hit golf balls. I'll help my youngest out with some stuff. And, okay. Yeah, that's all. Hang out.
Maybe take a little nap. I know. I want your game prediction.
I mean, listen, I said at the beginning of this run that I actually try to be honest and objective. So I don't pick the Commanders every week, right? I can't do the Larry Michael bit. I love Larry, but I can't do that. I'm making an exception during the playoff run, and I said I'm just going all heart every week. I'm just picking the Commanders. There's something special about this team. I feel like they have that magic dust, that stuff that the 2019 Nats had in particular. So I can't – listen, it's hard for me. I can't tell you how they're going to do it, but I'm pretty confident they're going to score about 28 points.
Okay.
And I got them winning, so somehow we're going to hold them to 21. So I got the Commanders 28, Eagles 21.
The Eagles, Eagles,
the Elks,
yeah, whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Elks is only scored 21. By the way, look up at the screen here at Caddy's. The Caps just won the Stanley Cup again. They've got the old 2018.
Can you imagine? We might only be a couple weeks away from that.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
I'm watching the Caps celebrate the Stanley Cup on a Monument.
I'm ready for
Sportsnet.
Another parade.
It's been a while. 2018 and 2019, we got a little spoiled.
Yeah.
It's been five whole years without a parade.
Right.
It's time to party again in Washington, D.C., the city of champions. And by the way, if you would have told me 1 month ago we'd be doing this show,
yep,
having this conversation, I'd have laughed you out of Caddy's.
Yep.
But here we are, and the boys just keep swinging that axe. Commanders-Eagles NFC Championship game on Sunday. We're taking you up to 6:30. Jay Gruden at 5.
Thank you,
our
Grant.
Blitz, yes, sir. Eric Pickle, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, buddy.
Toby and myself coming back on the Fan.